Welcome to the Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast to the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. I'm Stacy and I'm here with Casey.
Hi there.
Casey is the media manager here at Very Pink and she's also producing this show. If you'd like to get your question on the show, just email it to podcast@verypink.com and be sure to tell us where you're from. This is episode 65 and things that we talk about in this episode, we will link to in the show notes and you can find the show notes by going to verypink.com and clicking the podcast tab, and all of the show notes for every episode are there, right?
Correct.
Okay, we are devoting this whole episode to magically turning knitting questions into knitting answers, so we might as well get started, Case.
Okay. Hi, Stacy. Excuse me. I absolutely love your podcast. I'm another knitter who looks to your videos for guidance, and you never let me down. I'm currently knitting your Rodeo Drive poncho and trying to think of myself as a process knitter versus the project knitter that I usually am. I am very intrigued by your toe-up socks, and I love the idea of using up every bit of yarn available. I learned to knit in April 2014 and started my first pair of cuff-down socks in May of that year. I love having socks on my needles. My question is how to measure a hank of yarn into two separate cakes or balls. I have a scale, a swift, and a winder. Do I lift the hank off the swift to measure the weight of the remaining yarn? Your help with this would be very much appreciated. Addie from Hoover, Alabama.
Hi, Addie. I have a video on this called Winding Yarn into Two Equally Sized Balls, the catchiest title to a video ever, right? Anyway, it is helpful, but I can just tell you right now how this goes. You have everything that you need to do this. You have the swift and the ball winder and the scale. And first thing you do is you take the ball of yarn and weigh it. And it's, you know, most hanks, or not ball of yarn, hank of yarn. And most hanks of yarn are going to be about 100 grams, but usually there's a few extra grams on every hank. And so let's say you have 104 gram hank of yarn. So you want to wind your balls into, or the cakes in this case, into 52 grams each. Okay, so that's where you start. You wind the yarn into a cake using the swift and ball winder, and then wind again from the cake of yarn that you have. I usually put the cake of yarn on the scale, put it on the ball winder, and start spinning until I get down to the number that I want, and then I have two equally sized balls of yarn. But if you want a visual on that, we will link to that video in the show notes. And this is a great thing to do to wind your yarn when you're doing toe-up socks, so you know exactly how much yarn you can knit with and use all of it up.
Yep. Awesome.
Okay.
All right. I am new to the podcast and I'm enjoying binge listening. Have been watching your videos for a couple of years and love them, and am always telling people how much I've learned from them. My question is with using up my leftover yarn from different projects. If I've got bits left over in different weights, can I combine, say, two sport weight yarns to get a worsted weight yarn and then use that alongside a normal worsted weight yarn? Basically, I quite like the idea of using up bits I've got on a log cabin scrap blanket, but don't want to have to just wait for worsted weight scraps. Can I make up the weight using a lighter weight yarn? Hope that makes sense. But by the way, I'm an Australian living in the UK in a little town called Bridge North in Shropshire. Would love to hear you say those names.
Bridge North in Shropshire.
Shropshire.
I think I did it right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So here's Steph.
Steph. Okay. We're talking about different yarn weights in the same project, and specifically my log cabin blanket pattern. And that is a great pattern to use up extra bits of yarn, and we'll link to it in the show notes. And I'll tell you, in the log cabin blankets that I've knit, I have used different weights of yarn, probably everything from sport weight to Aran weight, which includes worsted weight, which is what it's supposed to be, but there are some other ones in there. The fact is that this pattern knits everything up in strips, in just like 10 garter ridge strips. So no one strip is going to dominate the whole quilt block. So you can kind of fudge the weight of yarn a little bit when you're knitting it up. So that's not going to be a problem. If you have some really lightweight sport yarn, holding it double-stranded would be fine. But really, I did mix it up with different weights of yarn. The only thing that I was consistent with when I knit mine was that I used the same fiber type in the... most of them that I've knit have just been 100% wool, and then I knit another one out of just superwash wool. the reason you want to do that, and I explain it in the video tutorial, is you want there to be clear washing instructions when you finish something. You don't want like half cotton, half wool, half acrylic. There's no three halves, but you know what I mean. You want it to be the same fiber type, and you want it to be able to have clear washing instructions, right? But you can fudge it with that pattern in particular. Yeah, you can fudge the yarn weights for sure.
Dear Stacy and Casey, thank you both so much for doing this podcast. I really enjoy listening to it. I'm a continental knitter, and I'm currently working on my first Fair Isle project. Right now, I am dropping one yarn and picking up the other color every couple of stitches and find that it makes really slow progress. I've tried holding both yarns in my left hand at the same time and ended up with a sock so tight I couldn't fit it over my heel. Can you give any tips on how to combine English and continental knitting style when working Fair Isle? I've never knit English style before, so any advice would be appreciated. Thanks and all the best, Christina from Austria.
Hi, Christina. That's a good question, but gosh, it's kind of a hard thing to help someone unless I'm actually there as their knitting teacher and watching them do it. Really, it's just practice. If you can cast on, like take 16-inch needles and cast on, I don't know, a Fair Isle hat or something, use a small project that you could just practice on. And maybe you'll make a hat that'll fit someone's head, hopefully. But if you don't, it's just a little project. You're not starting a whole sweater with a 300 stitch cast on or something. And just try it. The way that Christina is talking about knitting here is to work with two colors of yarn in a single row and have one color wrapped, one working yarn wrapped on your left index finger and one wrapped on your right index finger. And as you're switching colors, you're just kind of throwing the yarn from the two fingers there, your two index fingers. And that does help you speed up because you're not picking up one color and wrapping and dropping it and picking up the other color and wrapping and dropping it. So it can be really efficient. But the only thing that, the only thing that can get you there is practice. And most people, especially if you've been knitting for a while, you have kind of your way of, you know how things work with your hands and how things are going to work. And so I don't know that scheduling a private lesson with the knitting teacher to actually sit down and try to help you with things would actually be helpful at that point. Like brand new knitters need you to actually, like, I call it golf teachering them when you stand behind them. Yeah. And actually help them with their hands and how things go. But someone who's been knitting for a while, and she's a continental knitter, she knows how her hands work and how she's going to make the stitch get wrapped and stuff. So it's just really a matter of finding what's comfortable. I totally switched up the way that I Fair Isle knit. And, you know, I hold the working yarn in my right hand. I have one color wrapped around my index finger one direction and the other one the other direction. Like one's coming from front to back and the other's coming from back to front. So I throw forward for one color and around backwards for the other color. I know it makes no sense because it's not a visual thing, but I have both colors on one finger and no one taught me that. That was me figuring out how my hands work and what I was going to be able to do. I can knit holding one continental, one English American, but I'm just so much better with my right hand. Yeah. I'm not ambidextrous.
Well, I do it with one on each hand and
it works
can
for
get
you?
It, yeah, if you can get it going. And it makes me wish I was a continental knitter all
How do
the
you
time.
Do with the continental part of it?
It's fine if I'm only knitting. I don't know how to purl continental.
Well,
it
most
makes
Fair
no
Isle
sense.
Isn't purling.
Yeah, so it works fine for Fair Isle.
Right.
Yeah.
It
does speed it up.
It does speed it up. But what about your tension?
It's fine, I guess. I guess the only thing I've really done significantly was a stocking. So.
Oh, Christmas stocking?
Yeah. I think it's fine.
Yeah. Well, no, it sounds that's good. And did it take you a long time to get the
kind? It took me a while to get the hang of it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But once I found it, it made it so much easier.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It is nice to not. Yeah. Just the action of, I don't know why it's kind of discouraging because you're not making any progress while you're dropping the yarn, fumbling around, finding the other color, pulling it up.
Yeah.
And just having it right there does make it more fun, I think, to knit Fair Isle. Yeah.
All right. Hi, I'm Marilyn from New York City. I have only recently found your website and am now plowing through your podcasts. You have woken up my love for knitting.
Oh, that's nice.
In the past, I've concentrated on knitting things like blankets where gauge is, at least in my mind, not that important, or made large baby sweaters, hoping the recipient would grow into it. My question is, what is the correct way to check for gauge, make the swatch, wash it, dry it, and then measure the gauge, or make the swatch, swatch, wash it, block it, dry it, and then measure. The difference between the two being that in one the swatch is blocked and the other is not. Also, what would you do if your vertical gauge is correct but your horizontal is not, or vice versa?
Okay, Marilyn from New York City. I'm going to give you answers on these things, and then also I'll refer you to the videos that go into more detail. Swatches are so important, and the reason we knit a swatch is so that we know exactly how many stitches per inch we're getting, and we can compare that we're knitting up. We can compare that to the pattern, and if we want the pattern that we want what we're knitting to turn out like the pattern in the right size, we want our stitches per inch to match that in the pattern. So that's the big picture of why we knit swatches. The other reason that we knit swatches is that when we wash and dry the swatch, we follow the directions on the yarn label, and that tells us exactly how the yarn's going to behave when it gets wet, because sweaters and blankets and everything else, especially baby stuff, is going to need to be washed at some point. And whether that's hand washing or machine washing or however the yarn label tells us to wash that, we want to see how that yarn's going to behave when it gets wet. So when you're measuring, when you're knitting a swatch and measuring your gauge, you want to treat that swatch exactly how you're going to treat the finished knitted thing. So let's say you have a baby sweater and it is a cotton baby sweater, and the yarn label says to machine wash gentle, tumble dry. So that's how you want to treat the swatch. And once you've machine washed gentle and tumble dried your swatch, hopefully you had some more laundry you needed to do at the same time. You're not just washing a swatch in the big empty washing machine. That's when you measure it to see what your gauge is. That's how you're going to get an accurate size for what you are knitting. Now, the second part of this question is, what do you do if your vertical gauge is correct but your horizontal is not, or vice versa? And I've answered this question on the podcast before, so I'll keep it brief here. But unless you're knitting something that is side to side, if you're knitting something top down or bottom up, if we're talking about a garment, your row gauge is going to be far less important than your stitch gauge. So the focus is to get your stitch gauge correct, and your row gauge is just kind of going to follow and not be as important, because most patterns are going to say knit for 10 inches. It's not going to say knit for 47 rows. You know, it's going to tell you to knit the length, you know, of the sweater between the armpit and the waist, whatever, not a specific number of stitches. But okay, for more reference, because this is a big topic, and this is swatching is a thing that gets people caught up with problems in their knitting. If they just knit the swatch, they'd save themselves so many headaches. But it's like pulling teeth for me to get people to knit a swatch. I don't know. Why is it not fun? It's still knitting, right? You're still knitting.
Yeah. People that's the project knitter that wants to be done with that thing.
And they want to get started on the project itself.
They want the thing and they want to wear that sweater.
So they don't care if it's not successful.
Right.
Anyway, this is...
Well, and it's like, I think one time you said weaving in ends is part of the process of knitting.
It
and
is.
And it's just like if you start thinking of that way, knitting your swatch is part of that end product.
Yeah, and it's still... Why is it not fun? It's still knitting. Okay, I don't understand. That's not what Marilyn's talking about. Marilyn is actually fine with knitting the swatch.
Don't get her started.
Don't get me started. We're going to talk about all of the red flag issues here. Swatching and stash. And what are my other ones? The ones that make
leaving the house.
That was the last episode. Someone says I didn't, or two episodes ago, something. Anyway, someone said I don't leave the house. I do leave the house, okay? I swear. Let me finish what I was saying here. I will link to a couple of videos that I have on swatching, and I'll link to another video I have called The Mysteries of Row Gauge.
Okay.
We can go on to the next question. I'm not going to lose my cool, okay? Our sponsor this week is Otlight. Otlight is the originator of natural daylight technology and has been around since 1989. Casey, you are familiar with Otlight?
I am.
And I think most crafters are, because their lights are so awesome. The light actually mimics daylight, which allows you to see better and feel better over regular lights. But you've been using yours for a while, right?
Yeah, they were on sale this summer, so I got one because my lamp had broken. And I found that my eyes don't feel so tired when I'm sitting there for a long time knitting.
Right. And I've been using mine, and I've been knitting with a dark colored yarn.
Oh,
Yeah. And it's really easy to see the stitches when you have an excellent light on your work. And people, it's not just knitters, like crafters of all kinds, like quilters and what other kind of crafts are there?
Are there other crafts?
Nope, there's just knitting. Anyway, Otlight is sponsoring this episode, and Casey and I each have an Otlight. We've been using it. It's excellent. If you feel any eye strain, it's a great idea to give one of these lights a try. We are using Otlights from the Wellness series, and we will post a picture of the lights that, or at least the light that I'm using, we'll get a picture of that up there. If you want to learn more about Otlights, visit the show notes. We will have a link to the Otlight website, or you can go to otlight.com. That's OTTLITE.com.
Okay, next question. Hi, Stacey and Casey. I absolutely love your YouTube channel and the podcast. It has been quite an adventure in expanding my knowledge, knitting knowledge, and becoming more creative with my knitting. I'm thinking about designing my own pattern for a jumper or sweater, as you call it in the US. And that's funny to me because jumpers are like one piece in my mind, like a one piece jumpsuit.
Well, do you know what they are to me? Because I wore jumpers in elementary school.
Yeah.
And they're like, think of overalls, yeah, but in a dress form.
Okay.
In a dress shape. It's like, it has overall straps.
Oh, that's what you call them. I think of a jumper as like the ones, the pants, the shorts connected to your shirt.
Oh, that's a jumper too.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, and I was wondering when you design
shorts
garments.
Shorts connected to your shirt. You're talking about like summer. I just
absorbed. Like a one-piece outfit that you step into.
That grown women wear.
Well, they do now. And they have male jumpers too.
Okay, I saw that. Those are called rompers.
Rompers.
Okay.
But I used to call those jumpers.
Okay. Anyway. I've only ever called like sleeveless tank top things, like they're wool and you wear them over a blouse or something. Are you not picturing
like a
what
tunic?
I'm... No. It's a dress, like tank top dress, but it's fitted. You see it in school uniforms a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's not a summer dress. It's like made of wool and you wear it over a blouse or a turtleneck or something. But I used to wear those. That's what a jumper is to me.
Okay.
Or also I think of those Johnny jump ups, those things that hang in a doorway and you put a baby in.
Yes.
Okay. So every time a British person says jumper, I think of tank top wool dresses that you wear over a blouse or Johnny jump ups that babies bounce in.
And I think of one piece.
You think of one piece
jumpsuits.
Okay. But no.
Jumpsuits are for airplanes. Anyway, sorry.
Jumpsuits are for airplanes.
Okay.
Oh,
anyway.
Poor. Okay, what's...
Sorry,
I don't even... We don't, haven't even gotten to this person's
this
name.
This is Ryan from Australia. Sorry,
okay.
Ryan.
Oh, he's Australian, too, and it's not... We're saying
I didn't
British.
Know they showed that in Australia, too. Anyway, okay. So he wants to design a pattern for a jumper.
And get us started.
I was wondering, when you design garments, if you do it with pen and paper or you use knitting software like Design and Knit, if you do use pen and paper, where do you get information on sizing and then be able to translate this into how many stitches to cast on and when to increase, decrease, etc.? Thank you for the confidence and inspiration you have given me. Kind regards, Ryan from Melbourne, Australia.
Melbourne. Hi, Ryan. This is a good question, and this is, you know, worth a month's worth of videos for me to explain all this, but I can give you kind of a high-level answer. First of all, there is a website called Knitting Sizing Standards or something like that. I will link to it in the show notes. And that is the website that I use when I'm doing sizing or grading, is what it's called. On my patterns, it tells you, you know... A chest or bust this size, this many inches or centimeters is this size in standard sizing, or all the sizing for babies, toddlers, kids, men, women, you know, it's all there. It tells you exactly how big a bust is in a standard size 10 compared to how big hips are, blah, blah, blah. It's all there. And still staying at a very high level here answering this question, because designing is not easy. I use mostly pen and paper. I don't use any kind of software or anything. And like the first thing that I do when I'm designing something is I pick the yarn that I want to use. I have an idea for the design in my head. And so I'll do a really terrible sketch of it. Not because I'm trying to do a terrible sketch, but that's the best I can do. I don't ever show the sketch to anyone because it's just like... it's just for me. Yeah. I keep it private because it's terrible.
Yeah.
So I do my sketching and then I swatch with that yarn. And let's say I'm getting 5 stitches per inch and I'm doing a 40 inch bust. I just do the math to figure out how many stitches there are going to be. I just gave actual real numbers and then I realized I couldn't do the math in my head. And then I just, I do a swatch, measure stitches per inch and then decide like, the one size that I design first is my own size. So I design a medium large for myself, a medium or large, kind of depending on how I want it to fit me, but I'm kind of between those two sizes. And I design that for myself and then I do all of the sizing down and up from there. Because I'm able to try it on myself, it's helpful for me when I'm putting it together. Because my mannequin is my size, I am my size. It's helpful for me to do it that way. So I think that answers all the questions. And I'll give a link to the yarn standard sizing thing. Mm-hmm. That's not what it's called. I just can't remember what it's called right now. And I looked it up too. I'm just not remembering what it's called. Do you have anything to add to this?
No, I have not designed anything like for public use. And I've made a couple things for myself.
Yeah.
And I do an ugly sketch too.
You're making me feel better.
Yeah.
I thought you were good at drawing. Why did I think you were good at drawing?
Don't know. It's that weird vibe I give off to people. No, I'm not.
Good drawing vibe. There's no such thing. Why did I think that you were?
I'm not a drawer.
Like artistic.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not. But yeah, you got to kind of sketch it out in your head to get an idea of it and where things are going to go. And
yeah. And when I'm doing mine, you tell me if yours are like this too. Like I will like draw the neckline and it works in my head. I know what kind of neckline it is, but then it's totally out of proportion with the way that I draw the shoulders and the yeah. sleeves or the giant cable that I have running down. You know, it's just nothing's in proportion, but everything is there.
Yeah.
So I remember the ideas. Is that what yours is like?
Yeah. Yeah. But then people also use pattern tech editors.
Yeah.
So if that's something that you need help with, I know that some people will do that and they'll do more of the sizing parts of it.
They will?
I think so.
Because that's the hardest part.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's actually pretty fun. The same way that I like to write computer code, I like to do pattern sizing.
I guess,
but I just can't be interrupted. It kind of is the same.
Actually, I saw a tweet thread on Twitter about STEM and programming, and women have been doing these things for years.
Yes, we have.
Knitting and cooking is mm-hmm. chemistry and programming.
Yeah.
So
we're good at this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to mention, we're not done with questions yet, but I want to mention if there's a decent chance that some sound's going to come through the microphone.
Oh, yeah.
Because Google Fiber is digging up my street today.
Yay.
I'm excited to have Google Fiber, but, and we are in an acoustically sound room, but if they're sawing through concrete, you know,
yeah.
30 feet from us, there isn't a lot we can do about the sound. Anyway, apologies for any sound that's coming through. Casey's an excellent editor, but she might not be able to get, just in case.
The backing up truck sound.
The beeping, yeah, for sure. Anyway, okay.
All right. This is not really a question, but she's just wanted to say, I learned to knit from your YouTube videos almost 2 years ago, and I love the podcast. I appreciate the effort and work you put into this, because in my country, knitting isn't so popular, and I couldn't find another way to learn. You are a great teacher. On another note, I also learned about audiobooks from you, and I listen to them all the time. Thanks for everything, Elena from Greece.
Thank you, Elena. And now I was talking about Google Fiber sound, but it's a good thing we're getting close to the end of the episode because the puppy is awake and chewing on. Don't bite him, please.
There's dog noise, too.
There's dog noise. Leave it in, okay? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to try to pick the puppy up while you read the next question.
Hi, Stacey and Casey. I've been listening to your podcast since it started last summer and look forward to it every week. I treat everything you say about knitting as gospel. Please continue to use your powers for good.
Yeah, we're going to turn the podcast evil.
Evil knitting. here's my question. I've seen patterns for cotton lace sweaters that would be nice to make since it gets so hot here in California. However, I remember you saying that blocking only works on animal fibers. How do you make this lace look nice if it's knit with cotton yarn? Thanks, Elizabeth from Modesto, California.
Elizabeth, that's a good question. I know there are cotton lace patterns out there because I know that I've seen them in Interweave.
I've knit a cotton lace pattern.
Oh, duh. Maybe that's where I've seen it. Let's link to... Did you use a pattern?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's from On Knitty.
Okay, we'll link to that in the show notes for sure. I'm trying to answer this question well, but it's not easy holding this puppy. I'm holding him because if I don't, he'll bite his brother. He's awake right now, and he's a baby.
He's ready to go.
And he's ready. I need to pay attention to him. But this is also what I'll do for the show notes. It's not a good idea to knit something that's meant to be knit in wool, in cotton. You might not get great results, but there are plenty of patterns out there for summer tops that do have some lace or at least a lace panel in them that are knit from cotton. So I will do the thing that I love to do with Ravelry. I'm always complimenting your Ravelry skills, but I'm good at this one. I go to the patterns tab and then I do a filtered search and I narrow it way down to yarn weight and yarn fiber type and everything. So I will post the results of summer top, cotton yarn. I'll do it DK, sport weight, whatever, a few different weights of yarn. And we'll get some results for summer tops in cotton yarn with lace.
Okay.
That's a good search. Yeah. Okay. That is, we have to stop now because there's Google Fiber outside and there's puppy.
Did you answer the question about blocking? Like, should she block it? I say
did
yes.
Did she ask that? I'm
Can
sorry.
You block? The question is about blocking.
I thought it was just about lace and cotton.
How do you make lace look nice if it's knit with cotton yarn?
I'm so sorry, Elizabeth. This is... okay, yeah. We're getting close to the end of this episode. And it's really hard to do this with the puppy. I am really sorry. I try to be more professional than this on the podcast. Okay. If a pattern... that really, I kind of... started to answer this at the beginning of the question. It seems like a half hour ago when I started this question because the puppy's chewing on me. But if a pattern is designed to be knit out of a cotton yarn, you can just machine wash and dry it. Just follow the instructions on the yarn label and the lace should look fine. Mm-hmm. Well, what is yours like?
It was a thicker, it's actually the same yarn that I'm wearing right now.
Oh, okay.
It's a thicker cotton.
Yeah.
But I did block it because
Didn't put it in the dryer?
No. It's actually a hand dry or line dry cotton. They don't want you to dry it.
Okay, okay.
So I treated it like I would a wool item.
Okay.
And it helped shape out some of the, because it has kind of like a lace, not a leaf pattern.
Yeah.
So it kind of helped shape that.
Okay.
But yeah,
yours
I don't
is different
it.
Than a lot of them are going to be,
it's
though.
It's thicker. It's a heavier weight.
I think most summer tops are going to be out of fingering or DK mm-hmm. or sport.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you for reminding me that I didn't answer her whole question. I'm sorry, Elizabeth. I'm sorry. We have to stop recording or yes. My arm's going to fall off.
Okay.
Okay. Casey, if people want to find you online.
My website is kcknits.com, the letter K and the letter C.
Okay. You can of course find me at, Very Pink YouTube. Very Pink Knits YouTube channel, or you can go to verypink.com and scroll to the bottom and all of my social media buttons are there, including my Instagram account where you can see pictures of this horrible dog that I'm wrestling right now. Oh, I got to get him outside. He has the wiggles. Well, he's actually kind of draped over my arm now that we're done with the podcast. He's kind of relaxed. Okay.
Children.
That's that's all we have for this week. So until next week, when Google Fiber is done digging up my streets and hopefully the puppy is taking a break, stay warm, my friends.